This week's message is entitled, The Same Word from Three Prophets. It will require 2 weeks of radio broadcast in order to cover all the material. If you are unable to listen next week, both radio messages can be linked from our website at www.rvgrace.com. Now, let us read three portions of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, we find this, Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, Stand at the crossroads, and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Then in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the Lord Jesus says, Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Here we have the word of three prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Though Isaiah and Jeremiah lived about 100 or more years apart, both of them spoke of the same time in history, God's judgment on Jerusalem and the land of Judah by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. But spiritually speaking, all three prophets pointed to the same day, the day which Christ would inaugurate with his life and death. Let us look at what these three prophets said and wrote. And may God make use of it to glorify His name and to benefit His people. Through the prophet Isaiah, Jehovah said, Let us reason together. The religions of man are, for the most part, driven by emotion, not reason. The mind of the flesh craves ecstatic experiences so much that it will reject the plain preaching of truth, calling it dry and uninspiring. And in rejecting such dry and uninspiring preaching, it subjects itself to the most ridiculous theories of God and salvation. But our God says, let us reason together. God appeals to us by meaningful and rational words, not intense emotions. Words are units of thought. They communicate meaning to us. It may seem silly to have to make such an obvious statement, but in our culture, words have been stripped of their objective meanings and have become little more than missiles of emotion designed not to inform us, but to excite our passions and incite us to action. Stripped of any objective meaning, words become dangerous, for deceivers can make artful use of them and make a gullible person feel one way or another, and the intensity of his feelings leads him to think he has arrived at truth. Deceitful speakers craft their speeches so that each listener may impress his own meaning on what has been said. This is sad enough in the world of politics and philosophy, as cunning speakers make merchandise of the minds and thoughts of men and enrich themselves to the detriment of their listeners. But in the spiritual world, it is disaster of the worst sort. For these clever speakers make merchandise of the souls of men and drag their listeners to hell with them. But God uses words full of meaning. When he came into the world, he came under the character of the Word. He came to inform, not to excite. He came to change our minds with information, not to engage our emotions by dramatic speech. So he says to us, let us reason together. Reasoning is what the mind does with words. Reason will not always lead us to the truth, but truth is always reasonable. Reasoning is simply a thinking process. It is the logical progression from premises to conclusions. If the premises are true and reason is used, then the conclusions will be just as true as the premises. The word of the Lord is the premise. Reasoning upon that word will lead to true conclusions. When God called his people to reason with him, his first premise was this: though your sins be like scarlet, though they are red like crimson. Now right here, we discover why men of reason still arrive at a faulty gospel. They do not start with the proper premise. God begins with the great sinfulness of man, a sinfulness so bad that man has no capacity to remedy it. But natural man thinks he has some essential goodness, and that he can improve upon this goodness to the point that God will accept him. Starting with such a faulty premise as the goodness of man, it is impossible to reason one's way to the truth. No, God begins with the truthful premise of our essential sinfulness. However, then he does something unusual. He does not add a second premise so that we may combine the two and arrive at a conclusion. Rather, he moves directly to the conclusion. They shall be white as snow. They shall be as wool. Now, this is good news, to be sure. But we are left to wonder how we reasonably get from the premise of our scarlet sinfulness to the conclusion of snow-white righteousness. God spends much of the remainder of Isaiah's prophecy showing us the steps of reason between scarlet and white as snow. But if all we have is the Lord's first premise of scarlet and crimson sinfulness and his conclusion of snow-white righteousness, we are left at Jeremiah's crossroads, wondering which path we should take to get from that premise to that conclusion. By the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord tells us which path to take, the ancient one. There are many who are walking an old path, but old is not the same as ancient. Some go as far back as parents or grandparents and follow whatever path they took. This is the way of our fathers and grandfathers, and that makes it old, so it must be good. While the path in which our parents and grandparents followed may be the right path, it is not proven right by how old these ancestors are. Compared to the antiquity of the right path, our parents and grandparents are like newborn babes. So recent is their time that every false path known to man is older than them. Shall we trust our souls to the seemingly aged wisdom of those who are merely nearer to death than us? No, we need something much older than them. Some people go back as far as the Reformation to find the ancient path. We have passed the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. That's a long time ago. Thanks be to God for the faithful men and women of that day who endured great persecution for their stand for the truth of God and showed great boldness in the face of grave danger. Yet, the reformers are not nearly old enough to be the signpost of the ancient path. If 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord, then the Reformation happened earlier today. It occurred only half a day ago. This hardly qualifies it as an ancient path. Some might agree with that and say, why, yes, the Reformation is much too young a path to be the true path. The original church goes back much farther, even four times as far, to a full 2,000 years. This must be the ancient path. 2,000 years hardly qualifies as ancient. On God's calendar, that's just the day before yesterday. No church can claim an antiquity to their way if it goes back only 2,000 years. Yet, others might rise up saying, you are most certainly correct that we have the ancient path, for our path goes back 3,500 years to a mountain from which God himself spoke. We have come to the crossroads, and we have chosen this most ancient path and are walking Sinai's path. This is, most certainly, that ancient path that is the good path that leads to life. There can be no doubt that Sinai's path can lead to life. For it is written, the man who does these things shall live by them. Yet, that path, however old it seems to us, cannot get us from scarlet and crimson to snow and wool. Sinai's path is a fine path to get us from snow to more snow. but it simply cannot get us from scarlet to snow. The path of Sinai is a good path for those who have no sin, but it is an utterly useless path to those who, right from the very beginning of their journey, are scarlet and crimson in their sinfulness. No, that path is death to crimson and scarlet folk, for that path also says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in every point of the law to do it. So let us reason with the Lord. If my sins are scarlet and crimson, and I walk the good path of the law of Sinai, the end will not be good for me. It will not take me to snow and wool, but will deliver me to let him that is filthy be filthy still. That righteous and holy path will prove to be the broad road that leads to destruction for anyone who walks it, having started out from a scarlet and crimson position. Nor is the path of Sinai nearly old enough to be the ancient and good way for the scarlet and crimson to walk. We consider 3,500 years to be an incredibly long period of time. Three Methuselahs stretched end to end would not cover that amount of time. Yet on God's calendar, Sinai is only a half a week old, just 3.5 days. No, if we are to discover the ancient path, that is the good path for the scarlet and crimson sinners of our race, we must not settle for anything that finds its starting point within the time frame of sinful man. In fact, we must go back farther than the period of man's innocence in the Garden of Eden. This ancient path is so old that if we come to the crossroads and look down some path and can see the beginning of that path, we can be certain that that path is not the ancient path. The ancient path for which we look is so old that it predates time itself. It is as old as the one who is that path, that only way to the Father. As it is written, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Who is this one who is from days of eternity? It is none other than he who is the Word, that unit of rational thought from the Lord, who was already in existence when the worlds were first made. By his innocent and righteous life, coupled with his substitutionary and sacrificial death, Jesus Christ reasonably gets us from scarlet and crimson to snow and wool. Next week, we will expand on the subject of how Christ gets from our scarlet sinfulness to a snowy righteousness, and we will show several characteristics of that path which we can use to assure us that we are on it. Now, that message is already uploaded to the internet. If you wish to hear it right away, just go to our website and click the link to our radio messages, then select "The Same Word from Three Prophets, Part 2. May God enrich your souls by Jesus Christ.